And today we have a very special guest with us, sociology and politics professor at the University of Winnipeg, one of Canada's leading experts on ethnic and race relations. He's devoted his life to tracking hate crime in North America and has helped dismantle many hate groups in Canada. Thanks for coming into the program, Professor Helmut Harry-Lowen.
My pleasure, Ken. Thanks a lot.
And can we just start with, on a local level, there's been some recent developments about hate crimes actually organizing in Winnipeg. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, these are ongoing matters, but what was a bit of concern was some of the support that this local woman, who's deeply involved in the white supremacy movement, she's sometimes known as Nazi Mom, her children were seized a couple of years ago by Child and Family Services, and that case was very well known. She then tried to argue to the court that she's out of the racist movement, but in fact that's not the case. Her current boyfriend is originally from Montreal. His name is Ben Rivest, R-I-V-E-S-T. Rivest can be spotted on his shaved head. He has a tattoo with the logo of the Blood and Honor Organization, which is a pretty, you know, hardcore racist group, which is enjoying a bit of a resurgence in Canada. There's a Blood and Honor group on Vancouver Island consisting of at least 14 or 15 pretty well-organized people. In Calgary, the Aryan Guard, which was perhaps the most prominent group up until last year, seems to be now affiliated with one of the Blood and Honor factions. And so I'd like to know exactly what Rivest is doing here, aside from living with this woman and looking for work.
Yeah.
There were some altercations at the Albert a little while back when the British Oi band The Business appeared. And the good news is, to make a long story short, that some of the old anti-racist activists with ARA and United Against Racism made it very clear to Rivest that he's not welcome here, and that if they want to start anything, they better really think about that a bit more closely. So there's that sort of stuff going on, along with the usual recruitment efforts on the internet through Stormfront and so on and so forth. But Rivest's presence here, and he has a Facebook, people can check him out at Rivest Ben, in that order, can check him out, and again, you know, send him the message that he certainly is being watched, and any efforts at organizing will be countered in all sorts of ways. Winnipeg has a strong anti-racist history, going back to the late 80s, early 1990s, when a few of us began to take on the KKK. And then a little bit later, when young people like Yaron Walter and Thomas Bear Briere and others organized United Against Racism, which became part of the Anti-Racist Action Network, and which really, next to the ARA group in Toronto, was the best organized anti-racist sort of street-oriented group in Canada, right? Back in the 90s, United Against Racism was able to organize the largest Rock Against Racism in Canada. You know, groups like Propagandy, Mood Rough, and so on and so forth, played at a concert which drew about 1,300 people here in St. Boniface. So that sort of thing is happening locally, and Rivest is bragging that he has sort of the authorization from hires up to deal with the old Hammerskin factions, and we're not quite sure whether that's a bit of his bluster or whether he does have some type of credibility in terms of trying to consolidate Blood and Honor kinds of groups in Winnipeg. We'll see where that goes, you know.
Now, concerning across Canada, one of the biggest resurgences of hate groups and hate crime organizing and stuff like that is based out of Calgary. Now, recently, someone, a man was arrested for a hate crime done in Calgary in Winnipeg. Now, how closely tied or, is some hate groups finding haven here in Winnipeg and from Calgary? Or what's the connection with those?
Yeah, there was the case about a year and a half ago where one of the organizers for the Aryan Guard in Calgary had been arrested as a suspect in a firebombing case. Now, there had been a number of firebombings in Calgary. Jason Devine, who's the local ARA leader, his place was torched at least twice. But in this other case, one of the Aryan Guard members was accused of firebombing a fellow white supremacist, which the police are now saying was not the case. But he was on the lam. Yeah. He somehow got out of the RCMP had him pulled over near Regina. He somehow, quote unquote, escaped from the RCMP, ended up in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
So there's some sort of support for these people here at this end. Eventually, the guy was sent back to Calgary, and the charges have been dropped against him. But that type of interprovincial linkage, Winnipeg, Calgary, Winnipeg, Toronto, Montreal, but especially Winnipeg, Montreal,
yeah,
these are traditional networks that are still in place. When I first began researching in the late 80s, early 1990s, some of the connections between local members of the Ku Klux Klan, I was quite interested to discover how extensive some of these linkages are between Winnipeg, Montreal, between the Montreal Klan and Winnipeg, Winnipeg, Detroit, Winnipeg, Chicago, Minneapolis especially, and also into Calgary. Now, Calgary has been a real hotspot, without any exaggeration,
yeah,
for the last number of years. The Aryan Guard is the only group in Canada that had enough support to organize public demonstrations in downtown Calgary, mm-hmm, which, of course, elicited a very strong resistance by anti-racist action. And in fact, yeah, on a couple of occasions, the Aryan Guard people actually needed police protection to get away from downtown because there were so many anti-racist demonstrators. And the ARA and their supporters in Calgary are very well organized. But they have to be,
yeah,
because the Aryan Guard is well organized, seems to have enough funding to produce propaganda campaigns. They're also supported by what I'd like to call the Pied Piper of the far right wing, Toronto-based Paul Fromm.
Yes, now he's actually running for mayor of London?
Of Mississauga.
Oh, Mississauga. There's,
yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, Paul Fromm has been a fixture on the white supremacy scene in Canada since his days as a student in the late 1960s. I mean, he's been around for a long time. He, in many ways, is the Führer of the Canadian movement.
Mm-hmm.
He's also the Canadian signatory to the so-called New Orleans Protocol, which was organized by David Duke a number of years,
yeah,
ago in New Orleans, and which is an attempt to forge formal alliances among Canadian, American, European, and other white supremacists. So he's on that level. Now, Fromm, again, is in a position to travel throughout Canada and the United States. Fromm tried to organize a rally here at the law courts in Winnipeg last summer in support of Nazi Mom. Of course, that rally was a bust. Anti-racists were very quickly able to organize, and that event really didn't occur. But we noticed at that rally last year, at that attempted rally, there were a couple of local supporters, but also two guys from Calgary who had driven in for this.
Yeah.
And they had actually mistaken some of our guys as white supremacists, right? Thinking that a shaved head is a shaved head is a shaved head, and
yeah,
so on,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So that was interesting, and we still trying to figure out who these two guys were from Calgary. So, but the point is this: Calgary is in Stephen Harper's backyard,
mm-hmm,
and I've always made the point that as the lead member of Parliament for Calgary,
yeah,
the Prime Minister has a special responsibility to really deal with problems in his city. Right? Even justice statistics indicated that up until last year, Calgary's officially reported hate crime rate was 4 times the national average, right?
Yeah.
And that indicates a problem, because we know that hate crime statistics, as with all police statistics, are inaccurate, but they still give us a bit of an indication of what's happening, mm-hmm, out there. So you have that going on. You have substantial support, not just for the Aryan Guard, but also for WEB, the White European Brotherhood out there, which is a gang allegedly involved not only in methamphetamine production and distribution, but it's also a white supremacist group that sometimes works with the Aryan Guard, but they're also trying to unseat the Aryan Guard. So you have all of that going on in Calgary. And then you have connections not just between Paul Fromm and what's happening in Calgary, but then in Regina you have people like Christian Waters, who are head of a thing called Brotherhoods of the Klan, which is a KKK group and so on. Right?
Yeah.
So all of these things are interconnected. Paul Fromm is deeply implicated in all of these activities. And on top of that, just about 6 weeks ago,
yeah,
and you'll remember this, a boatload of some 500 Tamil refugee claimants,
yeah,
was intercepted by the military and then raided by the RCMP. And Paul Fromm, on his way to Victoria, stopped at Immigration Minister Jason Kenney's office to drop off a letter of concern. Harsha Walia, who's from No One Is Illegal in Vancouver, said the Minister of Immigration has never accepted any letters from refugee advocate groups, but he took a letter from Fromm's organization. Fromm then goes to Victoria to CFB Esquimalt and then organizes an anti-immigration protest, right, saying illegal Tamils not welcome here, pack your bags, go home, and so on and so forth, denouncing poor refugee claimants as criminals and terrorists. Now, what's even more troubling is that the Minister of Public Safety, Vic Taves, Stockwell Day, and others in the Harper government use the very same language, right?
Yeah.
Talking about criminals and thugs and terrorists. In other words, criminalizing refugee claimants, which I will bet you a dollar to a donut, every one of these claims will be shown to be legitimate at the end of the day, after these people are processed through the a very rigorous refugee system. So to have the far right wing, through Paul Fromm and so on, criminalize immigrants, and then to have that same rhetoric replicated by the federal government, that to me is profoundly disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
That indicates a kind of a political realignment that has been underway in the country, and which Stephen Harper and his neoconservative strategists have very successfully built up, this sort of network of right-wing think tanks, Christian nationalist organizations, and so on and so forth. I'm very, very concerned where this is heading, because as we see in Europe, for example, where the anti-immigration, or not just rhetoric, but also policies are even more advanced, you know, with expulsions of Roma people from France, for example, right?
Yeah.
Where you had the French government come in and literally sweep up in a kind of an ethnic cleansing campaign gypsy camps, Roma camps, and sending them back to Romania and Bulgaria. And we know that Sarkozy in France has done this as a response to the successes gained by the right-wing National Front, right? Mm-hmm. So where you have gains by neo-fascist political parties or political organizations, you have conservative political parties like Sarkozy and Harper here sort of mimicking things that are happening on the far right, and it's the height of your responsibility to be doing that.
Yeah, and we've seen in the media over the last few months a huge rise of Islamophobia and anti-immigration stances, everything from the Arizona law to now these ideas of terror babies coming through immigration. And you know, the new the mosque, which is open for business, by the way, which they're praying in it right now, so there's no chance that thing's moving.
Yeah.
But do you see the connection with political posturing and this new rise of Islamophobia and anti-immigration kind of?
There's no question of that. All of that's interconnected. In times of economic stress, I mean, to put it mildly, stress is even an understatement. What you had in the United States with the irresponsibility of the capitalist financial sector, and it's being bailed out by Obama and so on, while over a million families lost their homes because of inflated mortgages and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
All of that breeds resentment, and an outlook for that resentment involves forms of nativism, populism, anti-immigration sentiment, the racism aimed at Obama himself. I mean, all of that is perfectly interconnected in terms of what's happening both within the political system and within the economic system. And there's a failure of leadership among all of the political parties. And that includes here in Canada, the New Democratic Party, right? Which should be really at the forefront of, saying, well, look, let's have an immigration debate which is truly a debate, but not one which is fueled by this hyper-inflated, quasi-racist rhetoric, which Harper and his people, they're never going to say that they're being racist, right? After all, they've...
Yeah, but accusing any boatload of refugees as all being terrorists...
That's right.
You know, is kind of... or having any connection without no proof with even a Tamil organization.
Exactly. The Tamil community is a large community in Canada, a center to about 250,000 in Toronto, couple of hundred thousand in Vancouver. Hard-working community. I know many people from the Tamil community who were part of the anti-racist action in the early 1990s, right? Because they themselves were being attacked by the Heritage Front and other boneheads, right? So to have that community now tarred with this type of racist rhetoric, I mean, just imagine how that must feel if you're a member in that community, right? Or if you're a member in Muslim communities subject to state surveillance, CSIS harassment, all of that stuff, right? Things really haven't changed all that much since the 1940s, when the Canadian government didn't admit any Jewish refugees into the country, right? Because not even to admit one would have been too many, and so on. It's very, very, very concerning. And I'm going to talk briefly about the NDP here, in part because it runs the provincial government. We have seen absolutely no leadership from this government through the Minister of Justice, Andrew Swan, and his predecessor, Chomiak, on the issue of racism and of hate crime. Swan and the NDP, they position themselves as quote-unquote tough on crime, right? And they actually brag that they're tougher than the Tories, right? So they go visit Harper and the Minister of Justice, Nicholson, in Ottawa, and they essentially position themselves as even tougher on crime than the Conservative Party. It's time to break with that kind of rhetoric, right? It's time perhaps to say, well, we've, for the last 30 or 40 years, the whole political system has framed the debate around crime in terms of more sentences, more laws, more jails, and all of that stuff, which is part of what Vic Taves and the Conservatives are proposing now. Right? Break with that rhetoric. Say, perhaps we should consider less criminal justice, but more social justice. Right? And that's actually a pretty good slogan one could run on.
Yeah.
And I told some people from the NDP a couple of weeks ago, this is a freebie, take it, right? Well, no, we want a more balanced approach, prosecutions, policing, so on and so forth. But what this government here has not done is really taken the question of hate crime seriously. And it's ironic that it was actually the Conservative Party in the 1990s which had some major hate crime prosecutions in the province of Manitoba. It hasn't been under the NDP. And the NDP should know better. In part because before they were elected in 1999, they invited me and others to a human rights conference, and we gave them a 3-hour seminar on the importance of hate crime and so on. So the point is this: if there isn't a multi-pronged response, first and foremost from the community, from young people, right? Such as those who stood up against Rivet and his friends at the Albert. That's really among the most important kind of work. People just standing up, actively resisting the stuff at the local street level. But you need other institutions to come into play as well. And what political leaders say or do not say sends all sorts of signals. And in Europe, the signals that are being given to the racists in the various countries is that the political system is not going to deal with you all that harshly, because after all, we're going to deport them as well, you know?
And let's, like, we talk about a passive political system, but let's talk about media also. Currently, they're organizing to have the quote-unquote Fox News of the North and Sun TV. And kind of the rhetoric that you see on Fox News is, you know, very alarming on most days. You know, terror babies and you know, the mosque and like, basically stuff that should be probably even trivialized, but probably they work people up into a frenzy and point at, you know, certain cultures as being the culprits. Are you concerned at all with this new conservative media taking over some of the, you know, some of the, or being bigger than it used to be, fueling some of this racist sentiment?
I think we're going to see that. I mean, if the CRTC grants the Peladeau from Quebec the license to run this thing, I think you're going to see a sort of a replication of that kind of rhetoric that you had in the United States. And again, that'll be consistent with the conservatives under Harper's movement of Canada further and further to a more extreme right-wing kind of position. This will be consistent with that. It'll provide a platform for some of the more rabid racists within the Conservative Party and even further to the right. Look at the kind of rhetoric that you had in the United States, people like Glenn Beck.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what he said on air in the United States, he likely could have been charged with hate propaganda crimes in Canada had he made those statements, you know? So we'll see if those statements are made here. But the stuff that he said about Obama, you know, that Obama hates white people and so on, that is extremely inflammatory, but it seems to have been successful. He held this rally in Washington a few weeks ago and drew, on Martin Luther King, sort of the anniversary of one of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. So what they're doing is they're taking the civil rights movement, co-opting some of those images mm-hmm. and the iconography of the civil rights movement, and they're now portraying themselves now as sort of the new defenders of the white working class man, and it's extremely ominous what's happening in the United States with the Tea Party movement and so on. We're seeing elements of that in Canada.
Yeah.
Look at who is the leader in the City of Toronto mayoral campaign, yeah. Rob Ford.
Rob Ford.
Essentially a Tea Party kind of guy. And then you have Paul Fromm in Mississauga, who is running against Hazel McCallion. She's 89 years old, but she's been mayor for 13 terms.
Yeah.
Could probably get reelected, although she's facing a bit of a scandal herself. But in Mississauga, as you have in elsewhere, you have very low voter turnout, 25-26%. And Fromm can actually take a bit of, quite a good chunk out of those 25%. Because what Fromm is saying is this: Mississauga now has a population of about 1.3 million people. So he's saying we have to stop, he's using immigration as his main campaign plank. Mm-hmm. And he's framing immigration in terms of, an issue of employment, right? People in Mississauga will not be hired if we have too many immigrants. But he's also framing it essentially as an environmental issue, which will really suck a lot of people into his right-wing fold, saying we're going to have more pollution with immigrants. Interesting association he's making there, pollution and immigrants. Mm-hmm. Too many cars, gridlock, and so on and so forth. Now, these are problems that people in Mississauga certainly face. But immigration is not the issue as he claims it to be. One more thing. The other white supremacist running for office in Ontario is Tomas Winicki, who's running for mayor in London, Ontario. And London's another bit of a hot spot in southwestern Ontario with a number of groups, both anti-gay and also explicitly white supremacist groups. Winicki's not doing as well as Fromm is. It's interesting that Winicki himself is an immigrant, a Polish immigrant, who is railing against immigrants and criminals and thugs and terrorists, even though he himself is a convicted white supremacist who was incarcerated for 6 months, you know?
Yeah. So where do you see this, the end game with this? Like, why now, and what can we do about it?
Well, we can certainly be aware of these tensions and tremors that are occurring within our society. And this is where we, as sociologists, for example, we need to pay close attention to the way in which issues around immigration, around the economy, and around the political system, you know, how that all feeds into this growing nativist movement, this growing sense of political, let's call it intolerance, the spread of hate groups, and so on. So awareness is important. Getting the message out through the media, putting pressure on our politicians, even loyal supporters within parties like the Liberal Party or the New Democratic Party, they really need to stand up to the party apparatus. Right? And I find too much sort of ass-kissing, I can't find a better word for it right now, among good NDPers and good Liberals are saying, well, we can't really move in this direction. The voters won't buy it. You know, show some leadership, for God's sake, right? Send out a strong message that if you're going to be involved in this type of racist movement, we're coming after you. We're going to throw the weight of the state against you, right? As a form of deterrence. But don't sort of play the game that the Tories have set up, right? The conservatives have set up the terms of the debate. Tough on crime, more jails, a larger criminal justice system, not a more modest one, and everybody else has sort of followed suit and hasn't really challenged the terms of that discourse.
Yeah.
Furthermore, if we're going to use the justice system, if you want to be tough on crime, let's finally be tough on hate crime. And let's see a few more prosecutions. This is not a panacea, but it's one thing that we have in our toolbox that we have to use a bit more often.
Yeah.
Because those types of actions can be effective. And also using mechanisms like the Human Rights Commission, right? Filing complaints with the Human Rights Commission against hate groups, but also against those who will politicize the immigration and refugee issue by distorting the facts, right? Use Human Rights Commissions as a mechanism for public education and for dealing with these different expressions of hate.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll have to leave it there, but thanks for coming on, Professor Helmut Harry Lowen, expert on ethnic and race relations here in the University of Winnipeg. Yeah, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you.